Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about divinity, about the mystic journey, about what is our soul, what is the divine, what are these great things that we are having happen to us, and we say, whoa, what kind of experience was that thing? Where the heck did that come from? And I'm just going to forget about it and store it into my little memory and put a lock and key on that. It's really important to be able to say what is going on with our heart, mind, body, and soul, and be able to share it with each other. That's what we do here on this radio show. Today, my guest is Dr. Helena Judith Sternick, and she's going to be sharing about her new book, Fire in the Soul, Finding the Divinity Within Each of Us. Dr. Helena, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I have been so excited about spending some time with you and a dialogue with you that this is quite wonderful.
Oh, it's so pleasure to have you. You know, I think that when we get someone of like mind, we're like, oh gosh, a great conversation, you know? We won't have to pull teeth, but it's going to flow.
And there aren't enough of us, or there aren't enough of us who've revealed themselves. So it's really hard to find enough like minds for a good conversation.
That's true. And also, too, everybody's experiences are so varied and so different along the spiritual journey that they're afraid to be able to shine the light and share what's been going on with themselves, because we really want to, I think, as humans, compare our life experiences, and that gives us validation. In other words, that we kind of like join into a tribe and we all look alike, sound alike, and squawk alike. But on the spiritual journey, everybody has a unique experience. There are some commonalities, but it still is unique to yourself, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And the ways in which we as individuals respond to similar kinds of experiences is also so different. It becomes a matter of, say, for example, that you have your first mystical experience. At that moment, you are either going to be terrorized or you are going to be absolutely engulfed and fascinated and move into transcendence very quickly. And you don't know what's going to happen or how you're going to react to it.
You know, let's talk for a second about the mystical experience, because it's so different for so many people. I know myself, it's interesting because I've lived a life, I've always seen angels, had visions with them, had a lot of experiences this whole entire lifetime. And when the spiritual awakening thing started to come out into the media and people started talking about it, people would say, well, you'll have this and you'll have that and maybe it will be this. And I think back and I say, oh my gosh, I didn't get that. Oh, I didn't get it like that. Oh, I didn't get it like that. Well, holy crap. I was here having them all along. It's just that my label and my version did not fit what they were experiencing, and it shouldn't. Yes?
Absolutely, it shouldn't. It's such a unique, first of all, it's so unique in the way that these spirits reach out to communicate with us, and then it's so unique in how we understand it and how we perceive it, and then how we emotionally react to it. And then, of course, comes the other side of it when we start to talk about it, and that's unique too, because we may either remember it detail for detail and be able to tell it in that compelling fashion, or we're going to perhaps stumble around a little bit and be just plain human as we try to talk about it.
You know, and I think also, too, there's rarely words for these things. You know, I can remember when I was, like, very small, probably 2 or 3, you know, I was really hungry, really cold, and I was curled up in the corner outside in the yard. And all I remember is a big hand handing me radishes from the yard to eat, and I know that that was an angel. Well, okay. Or driving down the street maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, and I remember this red car to my left actually superimposing itself upon me, but there wasn't any, I thought it was coming into my lane, but there is no lane there. There was no car there, you know. And we think about these and we say, where do these come from? That's really about being able to access that other part of the energy world, be able to access other things that are going on in timelines. And, you know, it's the, I think when you get freaked out about it, when you say, oh, my gosh, what is that? That's when kind of you put a stopper on it and you'd be able to say, I have to validate it. I have to compare it to other people, and you get stuck. Mine are so off the wall sometimes, it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. You know, that's just, and I recognize it, observe it, and move on. And I think that's where you get to eventually, don't you think?
I think so. One of the very best pieces of advice I ever got was from Dr. Robert Masters. And he was my mentor for a long time, since I was having so many experiences, visions and dreams and so on, dealing with an Egyptian goddess and Egypt. But he used to say to me, don't just let them pass by. This is when you write down what happened on the spot so that you got all the freshness of that experience and that memory and as many details as you possibly can. And then there is a time in your life when you go back and you begin to reread it and to see what other layers of meaning are in that experience. And so that's what I followed a good share of my adult life.
Right. You know, I can remember you, as I have had many experiences in our earlier years. You know, it could include abuse, domestic violence, addictions, all these other words and labels you want to put on it. And
right.
I kind of step back, and at the time, I remember it really did not take me to a point of really, I don't know, it just, it didn't affect me in the way that many people assume these things do. And then I looked back on it, you know, at different points in my life. I'm in my 60s now. And I reflect back on it, and I said I really truly felt like I was an angel standing in the middle of it and just observing it. And it was going by around me. It was going by through me. And I just kind of like would shine light. And I would just be there. Because I remember many times people would be fighting violently, and I would be standing there, and they would look at me, and they would say, what is it? What do you want? You know, or don't you laugh? Don't you change my energy? And it's like, oh, okay, you know. Or, you know, we look at that, and we say, actually, that's what you were there for, was to shine your light and change the energy flow. So I think many times people will say, I reflected on my life and I went back farther and farther and I noticed there were some things there. I may have just not noticed them, right?
Right. Or I did not feel that I was supposed to take in that lesson of violence and chaos. I was supposed to instead, or I was being offered the opportunity to take in a different understanding from that. And I think that's what allowed me to survive. I just did an interview with a journalist who's going to be doing a profile on me. And she was most interested in talking about how do you overcome experiences like that and go on to do the leadership and so on kinds of things that you and I do. And I was struck by the fact that as I was sitting there and answering questions, I wasn't disturbed by them. I wasn't, of course, I'm 79 now, sweetheart.
Well, we're both up there then.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Sure does. It absolutely does.
But again, people's expectations of how we should have responded and
right.
the impact that it should have had on our lives is not necessarily the way it went.
Yeah, I think sometimes I've always said anybody can tell me anything. You know, I can remember when I was in naturopathic medical school, you know, a woman comes in, she says, I picked you because I know you would listen to me. And I was doing acupuncture and she started talking about ETs. And I was going, oh, okay, you picked me because you felt, you know, that I would be safe.
Right.
And I think
right.
that's what sometimes people need to do is to be able to find that safe place. To be able to speak to someone else about their experiences in their life and to be able to say some of these kind of esoteric, philosophical things that have come along instead of saying, am I going to share this with someone and I'm going to end up locked up, right?
Oh, exactly, exactly. There were periods of time where, or there were experiences that were so vivid that I wondered, of course, does anybody who knows this think I'm sane still?
or you wonder, you want to hide your keys because you could say, I'm going to drive myself there if I get another one of those.
I know.
Yes.
And without any context, without any frame of reference,
right.
you read like mad. Is that what you did?
Yeah, what I did, too, is I went on social media and I would find intuitives and psychics, and I would Google spiritual, sentiencing, awakening, consciousness. And
right.
anytime anybody had anything for free, I was there, you know?
Yes, I do
know. Because I figured that if I delved into little bits and heard little bits and pieces, then I could formulate my own story. In other words, I think sometimes, like I almost think of us as in kindergarten, we start to hear the words, like I and how do you spell it, and you and am and go and up and down. Then when we got that context, we were able to form a paragraph, you know, and be able to start putting it out there. I think without that, I'm not sure that the collective would have been able to create what it now talks about. Don't you think, especially, you know, in your book, I mean, how would you come up with those words if you hadn't somewhere seen their trains of thought somehow, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And out of that, that provides that safe harbor for you mentally, because as long as you can interpret it and make some sense of it, and as long as you can feel the sense of it, then I don't think you're as likely to get terror-struck or foolish-struck by it.
Yeah,
but of course, one of the reasons I wrote the book was because I talked to so many people who started out by saying, I'm going to tell you this, but you're going to think I'm crazy.
Right.
And you know then at that moment that your job is to reassure and to mm-hmm. provide some normalization for that conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, well, heck, what we really need is my book on normalizing these experiences. There are so many terrific books out there, and you've certainly written a lot, but there's always room for another book that explains, normalizes, and says, do not panic, my love. It's going to be all right. Or
that's
as
right.
Yes, yes. And the particular goddess that I work with, Egyptian goddess, says always at the end of her conversations with me or her dreams, she always says, all is well.
Yeah.
And I think that's an extremely comforting thing.
You know, I think it's so important to be able to have listeners, and I think that's really what you and I are, because and to be able to find what listening is, because once you're able to be heard, once you're able to be present in the moment, that then opens up a whole well of allowing your presence. So whatever you have inside you, you're then allowing that to flow. And when that does happen, then what happens, that's the beginning of your journey, whatever that might be. That's the beginning of allowing energy to flow, let disease out. That's the beginning of letting your energy flow so you can start to say, I don't need to carry all this stuff with me anymore. Sometimes it also opens up energy of crying or wailing or being excited or crazy laughing or whatever that might be for you.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Dr. Helena, can you share with us how your vision started, how your journey of the path started? Because many people have say, you know, mine started differently. So let's share yours.
I think that there are some real similarities in terms of timing. Mine started, at least I remember mine starting, when I was about 2 years old. And I had a Swedish immigrant grandmother who was very receptive to what was happening to me, and who did not, you know, shake her finger at me and say, you can't be feeling that. No, that's not right. But who instead became very interested, and they owned a little grocery store. She would put me up on the grocery countertop, and she would say, you know, talk to us. And she called me Judy. Judy, talk to us. Now, what are you thinking? And she said, I used to come out with all these incredible things that that I would suddenly have the vocabulary for and that I would know that I couldn't possibly know. And I unfortunately don't remember any of that now because I'd love to have some of that. But it made me aware when I was very young that somehow I had access to things that not everybody did, nor did everybody want. And then I began to have, as I got just a little bit older, I began to have visitations. My animal is the bear, the wolf. And the wolf came to me one night when I was about 3 years old and came to my crib and was there obviously as a foreshadowing. I knew that it was important, and of course I was terrified because the wolf was so large, but I knew that there was something telling me this is important about this wolf. And later, when I was about 40 years old, I discovered that my totem animal was the wolf. And I believe all along had been one of my guardians, one of the spirits with me every place I went. And so you begin to accumulate all these, and they're so varied. They're so different. Right. Sometimes they involve our totem animals. Sometimes they involve angels. Sometimes they involve spirits from the past, great, great figures from the past. But they come to us, and they all mean to communicate with us, to tell us things, to reassure us, to let us know that there is this vast universal spiritual world to which we belong, and they want us to know that we have a home in the midst of all of that. And so I began to put away being hesitant and instead just dove right in. And when I encountered the presence of this ancient Egyptian goddess, who is one of the oldest gods in recorded history, I knew that that was the voice I needed to work with. That was the voice that had sought me out and wanted to speak with me and wanted to stay with me. And I knew that that voice would never leave me. And she has led me into some of the most amazing and incredible and enthralling spiritual experiences that I could never have dreamed of things so wonderful. But you can't talk about them. As you say, there is no language for that which is mystical and glowingly spiritual. We just don't have the words.
And also, too, I think the idea that when we say that someone speaks to us or presents to us, we expect it to look like a human, stand in front of us, and speak like a human. And, you know, that's a big difference for so many people, that they can't wrap their heads around anything other than that. I know for myself, I can remember always being able to see faces. I mean, I do this all the time. I can look at a stuccoed, the top of the ceiling, you know, those popcorn ceilings, and see 100 faces there. I can look at a cloud and see something there.
Right.
Or, you know, right. Or, I mean, I looked at my couch the other day, and I'm looking at it now, and I don't see it, but it was there the other day. There was a heart on there, and I said, oh, cool. Or, you know, I would drop, you know, a hair tie on the floor and come back 3 days later, and it was in the shape of a heart. So I think those are all of these messages that are sublime, and they're out there. And those are the type things that we need to maybe reflect on and pay attention to. Or I would walk outside and I could hear a leaf drop off the tree, which wasn't even next to me. Or I'm blind as a bat almost sometimes. My vision is just horrible these days. And it's pretty much, you know, really thick glasses. Yet I can look out the window sometimes, and just for some random reason, and I could see a spider web glistening in the sun. I'm going, holy crap, I have terrible vision, but I can see the spider web, you know? So
right.
I think that a lot of times when we don't pay attention to these, these are the magical, mystical things along our journey. Those are what we should look at, not how many things we got in our closet, what's in our refrigerator, and, you know, how shiny is our car, right?
Right. Or how do I look today? Can I go out to give my talk this morning wearing this? And, you know, we have such funny things that distract us. I've always believed that much of what happens to us happens when we allow ourselves to be accessible, when we are just kind of open-minded and not even thinking about it, but accessible. And then these things that are wondrous and filled with messages and filled with shimmering luminosity, they come to us. And they leave these wonderful images with us, and they leave this wisdom with us. And I think part of what we're supposed to be doing is, when we have the opportunity, simply to, let's go back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, listen to other people and listen to what they're really saying.
Yeah, I think, you know, being in a natural medicine physician, so many times people will ask me a question, and I will go off on some other totally different tangent, like I'm on another planet, and it has nothing to do with the question they asked or the answer they were expecting. Yet, when I got to the end of it, it was exactly what they needed. I can remember this one lady asked me, she said, how much protein do I need if I'm a vegetarian? And I didn't go anywhere near that. And I turned around and I said, you know what, why don't you get some hemp oil and some B12? And she said, why? And I said, oh, I don't know, I think you might enjoy it. Check it out. And the hemp oil might just give her a little bit more ease in her day-to-day life, and it was like, oh, okay, it had nothing to do with the protein. You know, and I think sometimes that we think about this too. People will say to you, you know, I really don't feel good today, and someone else will say, oh, okay, go lay down. But they really didn't want to hear how you felt, or they didn't want to say how you were maybe missing something out this day, especially when we talk about elders, good gravy. You know, when people say, how are you doing, and you answer fine, It's like you've done both of you such a disservice, you know, from being able to have a connection. But sometimes we know that the other person doesn't want to listen, right?
Right. Right. But I think that there is an energy that they give off when they really desperately need you to listen and need you to respond to them in a way that that tells them what they need to know.
Right.
In whatever fashion you tell them. But I don't believe in preaching. I don't believe in being evangelical. I don't believe in getting anywhere off a track that appears to be preachy.
Right.
Because that's not authentic. That's not legitimate. That's an intrusion into somebody else's energy and being. But to take what they're trying to tell you and to use that imagery, to use that or to leap off of that language into language that maybe expands their understanding, but that you always work with what's there and don't try to impose anything on anyone.
Yeah.
And I say that
it's
because...
It's a touchy place. Yeah.
It is. It really is. And there are many people who believe that their visionariness or their mysticism gives them the right to know more than the rest of us, and therefore to shape your knowing. Well, no, it doesn't. It does not. We are all simply trying to be the best that we can be in this world, and that has to be whatever fits us, whatever our template, spiritual template is in this life. That's what we work with, and that's what we honor when we listen to other people.
And there's so many different paths too, because sometimes some people are there to shine the light, some people are there to shine in the darkness, some people are there to shine darkness. You know, I see it a lot when people say, there's so much chaos around, or this doesn't feel right for me. I'm going to move away from it. However, sometimes when it doesn't feel right for you, that's a great time for introspective versus being able to run from it and saying, I'm going to keep hiding from it. Yes?
And you can't really hide from it.
Right.
Because it always will pursue you, will always haunt you until finally you face it. And I think you're in your 60s.
Right.
And I'm in a decade beyond you. But we have both begun, we've gone over the hill, both literally and metaphorically. and in so doing, have come into areas of greater wisdom than when we were 40 and 50. Yeah. And so much of what we're trading off for being older and having to deal with some of the difficulties of being older, we're being given this tremendous gift of understanding or partial understanding of all kinds of things that we didn't 30 years ago.
Now, look, I'm not giving up my string bikini. It's still sitting in my drawer.
Oh, doggone it.
Even though there's no way in the world, but I still. But you know what I think, too? It's so funny on a spiritual journey is that I have zero essence of time. I could put it on today like I'm 22 years old. I could put it on like I wore it when I was 45 and not think twice about it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Even though,
yes.
And it's like, and not even to bother with a mirror or anything to see what you look like in it, because in your mind you still believe that which is who you are is not really all of this stuff anyway, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But to try to explain that to somebody who's 22 and goes to the gym every day, that's not possible.
Yeah, you know, I've been gifted with great children. I have four children, and my youngest is a daughter. And I said to her something the other day. She says, Ma, she says, you profess this stuff all the time. Why would you not think that would be any different? I went, oh, I forgot for this situation. You know, and I think sometimes we do because we delve so deep into the human 3D experience that sometimes we feel pulled and attached to it. But that's part of the journey, too, is I think my biggest I'll use the word challenge because I can't think of another one right now, but is I've always existed in the higher paradigms. I would talk to intuitives and psychics, and they'd say, my gosh, all you would do is talk to angels. Don't you ever talk to a human? And I'm like, no, I don't like them, you know? And, and I mean, my biggest thing was is that I couldn't understand this human strife or suffering or victim. I couldn't understand all of that kind of stuff. It just didn't make sense to me because I always was in that higher dimension stuff. And so the biggest difference was, how do you bridge those super high experiences with some of the other experiences that are of old?
And you're asking me this question.
Well, because I think that we've all had challenges with it. And I think that to be able to share that, because I think so many times people will say, but I'm supposed to be this, and then they diss or turn their nose up at the other stuff. It's sort of like saying, you know, I mean, this is a perfect example. Everybody, you're supposed to be eating organic food, grow it in your backyard, make sure you've got, you know, this big protection of white light around it, blah, 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 and don't put anything else in your body. Well, holy heck, I might be in the car, I'm hungry, I'm going to drive into McDonald's. Do you know what I mean?
So glad to hear that.
Right. But the concept of is that we need to be able to understand that we could still have a sense of our higher dimension. We could still be our higher dimension, but we still are exploring all of the dimensions. I think I call myself a multidimensional being. I've always done that. I've always felt like...
Oh, I like that phrase.
Right, because I always felt like, you know, people would say to me something, and I'd say, oh, gosh, I just feel like throwing up glitter in the air, and that's how I feel. You know, I feel like I'm every little speck going everywhere. And, you know, I think if we feel that and we can sense that, we could say everything is okay then. So then, you know, if my husband last night, he was walking past the bed and he hit his knee and he fell on the floor. And even now I'm laughing. And I laughed so hard and he was like so mad because I laughed because he hurt his knee. But I said, I haven't laughed in so long. I said, could you do that again? I really want to feel like I could laugh really hard again. You know? And he was like so freaked out by it. But then he was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, and I think that to be able to let loose of how we expect it to be, my gosh, stop, you know, like just, oh, whatever, you know. People say they have they'll come to me and they say they have a great disease, they just got, and I'm like, oh, fantastic, finally, you put a label on all that crap you've been dragging around, and they're like taken back by that. And I said, yeah, cool, now what do we want to do, you know, instead of being, you know, like you said, you know, you're dragging through the muck sometimes. God, you got to leave your boots behind sometimes, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or the mud sucks them off, so you have no choice.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, going back to your comments about living in two locations, as it were, being up there and being able to engage in these wonderful dialectics with people that that understand you and that you understand and to be in that realm, that's fine, but that's not what you were born to. You were born to live out this life here in this realm, and yes, you have wonderful portals to all these other places and you're supposed to use them, but you have to keep coming back here and you have to deal with what's here, and other people are begging you to help them deal with what's here.
Right.
I want to go back to the comment that you made a while ago about the fact that the spirits that we communicate with don't always look like angels look, or that we have to take them as they are and as they come to us. Mm-hmm. When I first started working with Sekhmet is a lion-headed goddess. And I was so disappointed I kept saying, I want you to look like ISIS. I want you to look Ceres. Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
And she would simply say to me, you take me as I am in all my beauty. And I learned to do that very, very quickly. But it's again that willing suspension of expectation. So that you stop expecting things in a certain way and you take them as they come to you. And I remember the first time that I tried to explain to somebody that when we're holding these communications, that we don't use language as such, that it's thought transference, mm-hmm. it's energy transference, right. and it's not like you and me talking. And it's very, very hard to get people to understand that and to be easy with it, because then they worry that perhaps you're practicing some kind of weird, I hate to even say the word witchcraft, because that's so misunderstood
right.
today when there is so much of the healing. And but it's people are so afraid of what they don't understand.
You know, it's interesting because I live in New Orleans and there's a lot of voodoo here. There's a lot of chateaurs and healers.
Yeah.
And I can remember when I was doing the naturopathic board bill here, it was, over a decade ago. And they wrote me up in the newspaper that I was a voodoo priestess and a shaman. And I kind of like took it back and I was like really upset about it and all kinds of crazy stuff that started to wind down with. And then I kind of said, you know, hey, cool. Great, you know, I have all kinds of little bits and pieces inside of myself of the universe. I think we sometimes believe that we have a category and we are special. However, we are the universe, and the universe is extraordinary. So in other words, we're not all meant to be these little silos and perform these little J-O-Bs, you know.
Right.
And
right.
we're supposed to be exponential and have all the and be limitless. So I'm like, oh, cool. I must do that like a shaman. I do that like a priestess. I do this like that. I do that like that. And isn't that cool? And I think we see this now playing out in society where a lot of the people are saying about their genders. That's playing out. And I really don't see a gender. I don't see races. I've always been that way my whole life. People would say, why are you talking to them? What are you doing with them? Where are you going with them? And it's like, what do you mean them? I don't know what that means, you know. It just
right.
did not resonate with me, and I just didn't know what to do with that. So kind of I think if we can think of ourselves as being more expansive and taking off all the labels and just saying, oh, yeah, I like to try that, and I like to try that, and I like to try that, then we free ourselves up. And once we get stuck with all these labels, it's sort of like, gosh, labels are just like, I think of them almost as name tags around your neck. It's how many can you hang on to? Yesterday I did a show with this elder woman, and she was talking about the senior man. And I said, well, you know, men have legacies and women have lives. And she went, what? You know? But
oh,
I like to think.
Wonderful.
Right. And I'd like to think of it as we both really are trying to expand. However, do you want to have a legacy and that's your stocking up of your stuff? Or do you want to have a life and be able to be expansive? I think it's really up to us to make that choice, don't you think?
Oh, I do, absolutely. And I think that there are advantages that women have by the very nature of our energy and our being, and that is that we seem to have, and I hate to make generalizations, but we do seem to have a connection to universal spirit that mm-hmm. sometimes men aren't allowed to have in the way in which they are allowed to be in the society and the ways in which they aren't allowed to be. And the perks of power and money and status that come along with being a man who's the way he's supposed to be sometimes overrides the spiritual impulse and the energy to just be. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and it also does too. I mean, when I think about this in healthcare, people say, well, I went to my physician. He didn't tell me this, and he didn't tell me that, and he didn't tell me I should meditate. He didn't tell me what kind of exercise to do. He didn't tell me what to eat for my heart condition. And I'm thinking, gosh, dude, y'all, your doctor is trying to do the best he can to give you what he knows at this moment. It's up to you to figure out your universe. It's not up to you to be able to go to people to have them all tell you of your universe. So I really think it's totally up to us to be able to expand and delve into all these different things versus to seek out one person to be able to tell us, here, read my book and here's the answers. And you'll never find it. You'll be on a search forever, you know?
That's right. That's right. And our lives, anyway, are questioning. They're raising possibilities. Our lives are meant to, I think, simply keep opening doors for us and portals for us and new thoughts for us and new ways of seeing ourselves in the world. And that whole question of what is being is such an enormous question in itself and such a compelling question in itself. These are the things that we need to be dealing with. These are the things that we need to be thinking about instead of what am I fixing for dinner tonight,
right.
Knowing that we have to fix dinner too or somebody has to. But it's just being aware that so much of our lives need to be preoccupied with things other than nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just really expansive. You know, people would always say to me, who are you? What do you do? And it's like I just stand there with my mouth open because I know no matter what I say, no matter what I answer, it's really not the answer. And then finally, I just come up with, I help you bridge yourself to the world of possibilities. I mean, really, helping you find that bridge, you know, because there's really
right.
nothing else you can say. You can't do for anyone for anything. You can't fix anyone. You can't say, follow me, you know, here's the golden coin. And
right.
And I think sometimes when people say they seek out these type of people, I think is when they may have gotten hurt. But also, too, getting hurt is part of the path. So if that is your path, please do continue to go along it, but also to become aware of it. Once you're aware of it, then you say, okay, what am I getting here? What am I exploring? What am I finding out? And is this something that at the end I'll say, oh, cool, this is the end of the exit, I'm done with it, and get back on the highway?
That is a very, very commonsensical way of putting it.
Right.
Because we're all going back to the highway all the time and
right.
picking up the journey again as it gets interrupted and all the things that happen to us. But it's like this whole conversation that we've had this morning.
Right.
We're talking about opening things up. You're not saying to me, I think that you need to do such and such, or have you ever thought
mm-hmm.
about doing such and such? You're talking about possibility. You're talking about language which doesn't exist that we want to help invent so that we can think more wildly and deeply and freely. And how joyous to have these kinds of conversations. God, if I could talk to you once a day, I would be so whole.
Well, because I think, though, when we do have that conversation, what we're doing is we're dancing with energy. I think sometimes when you don't dance with the energy and you're pushing against it is when you come up with kind of like pressure and resistance. So if you're dancing with it and you're saying, that sounds cool, tell me more, or, oh, I've never heard of that, what else? Or, yes, you know, and you go along something else. But consistently when people will say, oh, that sounds ridiculous, I don't get it, I don't know what they're talking about, they're putting up that resistance paradigm. And once you put up that wall, you've slowly begun to be able to give it moss to be able to stay there. So I think sometimes we need to be shaking or rattling or rolling. And you know, it's interesting I just said that because I do my shows totally from intuitiveness or whatever shows up. And now today we're in May 2018, and I looked at my marker on the earthquake report, and normally for 30 days we have about 1,200 earthquakes on the globe, on the earth. And today it's at 4,200. I said we have quadrupled our earthquakes in the past 30 days. So really we're all about shake, rattling, and rolling. And if there's a lot of people, I think we say, what's going on? Everybody I'm talking to is pissed off. Everybody I'm talking to is getting sick. Oh my gosh, is there another person passing away today? Really, that's about shaking, rattling, and rolling of the energy. So I think to allow that, yes?
Yes. And think of the volcano that's doing all kinds of things out of character and out of what we understand about volcanoes. Mm-hmm. It's just another upsetting of the earth. Of course, there's that other level that we also are aware of, which is the earth is saying to us, damn it, why haven't you left me alone? Why did you not take my gifts as I gave them? Why did you have to keep destroying and destroying and then expect that none of this would happen?
Yeah, and you know what, too? And then I see it as a different thing, and this is exactly what we're talking about, is spiritual mystical journeys are unique to each person. And then I have a different aspect of perspective of it, and I say, you know how everybody says you got to ground to the earth? And I'm going, what the heck do you want to ground to the earth for? Earth is rising up. Just reach out and meet her. You don't need to be ground to that lower density. So, you know, so many times people will say, we have to fix it. It's got to go back how it used to be. Well, that's kind of history, you know. I even thought of it today. I said, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're eating your emotions. You know, that was a fad phrase a while back.
Oh,
now they're on to food as medicine. You know, I think that's another fad thing. And I really looked at it and I said, you know, food is history. If I'm eating macaroni salad, I remember when I had it, where I had it, who made it, everything else. So really, food is history.
And well, that's a neat way to phrase it.
Yeah, and it's just so funny to think about it, you know? But I think what you and I are doing is we're dancing with the words. We're dancing with the energies. You're throwing yours into the air. I'm throwing mine into the air. And it's just saying, oh, isn't it fun? Instead of accepting it as, you know, I don't accept yours as truth. You don't accept mine as truth. Others don't accept ours as truth. We accept our truth, whatever our truth is, and to understand that truth changes in the flash of a second.
That's
there
right.
is no true truth. Everything is an illusion, and isn't that really where we're going?
Yes, yes. And all things are up for interpretation, for understanding in a million different ways, and they're
right.
all true.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, Dr. Helena, it has been a really great time talking to you today. See, I told you we'd have so much fun.
Well, I kind of had that feeling before I called you. That
oh,
the energy
great.
Was just right.
Yeah. Well,
thank
it's definitely
so
about
much.
Exploring the potentials, don't you think?
Oh, it absolutely is. And as long as we can help each other to remember that, we won't lose as much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Helena, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
Yes. I'm in Naples, Florida. And you can, of course, reach me on the internet by my email number is hjsternick. Sturnick at comcast.net. And eventually I'll get my webpage up, but it's not ready yet.
No worries. Well, Dr. Helena, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're
it's been
so
a pleasure.
Welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Helena Sturnick, please do check out the links on the bottom of today's show page for more information. And it really is about being open to potential possibilities. Goodness gracious, does a cloud in the sky ever worry about how it presents itself? Every single second, it's there, it's gone, there's more, there's none, and never, ever does it repeat the same. So just enjoy your mystical journey and your spiritual journey and your human journey. as just that moment and that glimpse in time. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.